Black Caviar took over the running before the 300 from Kwasa Kwasa. Amathon running on and then Take the Rap. And further back in the field then was Kaskura. But Black Caviar's opening right up and living up to the very good trial. She's sprinting away for Jared Noski. And in the run home, Black Caviar won it by four to Kwasa Kwasa. Take the Rap a neck away third. Amathon ran fourth. And just behind those was Kaskura, followed by Commonage Close, Far Too Fast.
You can sort of sense in Greg Miles' voice that, here's another nice one that's come along. But there was no sense of what was to come in the next 24 starts, was there? There was just a nice debut winner.
And who rode it that day?
Oh, I do know.
It was said in the call.
Jockey,
Jared Noski. It was in the call.
Yeah.
Don't you listen?
You wouldn't know what Matt does when we have audio pieces here.
But even though it was in the call, I still couldn't answer it.
I tell you who would have been listening with a big smile on her face, and that is Pam Hawkes. It's great to have a chat to Pam this morning. Good morning, Pam. How are you?
Yeah, good day, Michael. You're right about the smile, Michael, and that has featured in many trivia questions. Jared Noski is first race.
Just about that day, obviously there was the barrier trial at Cranbourne where everyone went, oh, we got a nice one here, and I think Luke Nolan rode Black Caviar there, but what was the sense of expectation going into that first start? Because nobody knew she would become Black Caviar, so she was just another one of Moody's nice late two-year-olds who had trialled well, who was going to the races. What was the feeling in the ownership group and from the stable before that race?
Michael, I'd been to that trial and I said to my daughter, Alison, who had a two-week-old Harvey, who's now 12, well, there go the odds, and I was right, but probably they were the best odds we got forever. We were excited, but I think there was probably three or four of us there at the race. You know, at the end of it, there were like 250 going. But at the start, you know, for one reason or another, it was another first starter, as you said.
Pam, I remember when the horse had its first start. I owned a horse with Neil Werrett at the time, and we got chatting. And I think at that stage, he'd only had one Group 1 winner. It was Belle Mer, for memory. He might have had another one after that, but it's certainly not long prior. And he actually sent me the trainer's report on Black Caviar. And remember, as you would, you know, appreciate, Black Caviar wasn't Black Caviar, having a debut run. And it was a good push from the stable without being really over the top. And you mentioned price. I reckon it was about $3.80 or $4 the night before and probably started about $2.80. So did
you know well, Dan, because you obviously backed her.
Well, I did, only $20 or whatever it was, you know what I mean? I just, as a friend or somebody that you knew, and Pam, you just mentioned the amount of people, 200 or so people that got involved. I'm sure they all would have had their $20 on it too.
More than likely. Neil probably had, you know, 50. Knowing Neil. Yes, but look, we're excited for today. And, you know, the sad thing is, of course, that we can't be there. So we'll be all watching on the telly, though.
That is part of that, too. It had only just dawned on me when you said it. Hey, can I just take the story back one step further? Now that we're reflecting on Black Caviar, we will get to the daughter. Tell us about that houseboat trip where this was all sorted out. What was the casualness of the discussion that ended up with all you guys owning Black Caviar?
Look, Michael, sadly, Barry and I weren't part of that group because probably, as you know, we're farmers, and in February, farmers are flat out doing things, so we didn't ever go. But I suspect it did involve a fair bit of red wine. And so they'd spoken about having a horse, you know, for quite a number of years. And my sister and Colin, Colin Madden and Janine Madden, they were on the houseboat. They like red wine too. Anyway, they said, well, we can't get a horse unless we involve Pam. So that was wonderful. And they included me, and the rest is history.
What a great result for you, Pam. I remember, it's Matt Stewart, by the way, I remember standing next to you at trackwork at Caulfield one morning when she was just having one of those 4 a.m. canters around the track in the dark, and you said that this is what I enjoy the most because there's just no pressure, and we'll talk about the race day pressure today, but it was a bit of an intense time, wasn't it, for pressure and expectation race day, but it was lovely when you could see Black Caviar when there's nothing at stake on a non-race day.
Yeah, Michael. Look, we love the horses. I love all of them. And the best bit was to be able to get up close to the big horse. You know, we went up and visited her when she was at Peter Clark's at Murchison. Peter let us come and visit her at the stables. I think I went to every jump out, every trial. I certainly went to every race, as I do with most of them. But that's the best bit, is to actually get to know the horse and to love the horse as well. And I think that adds to the pressure, to be perfectly honest.
And to travel around Australia too, and no doubt with family and friends to enjoy that and to soak that up. You know, it's beyond just following a horse, isn't it, and going to the races, to get that opportunity to share that special time with the most important people in your life and going outside of your home state.
Yeah, look, that was wonderful. And, you know, I remember Claire and her husband, Ernan, who are vets in Ireland. They flew out to Brisbane just for the... you know, the Brisbane race, for the races. They flew all night, went to the races, partied all night, got back on the plane and were back at work on the Monday. So that's what it was about, wasn't it? You know, bringing everybody together and everybody was feeling part of it, which is great.
Pam, I know we've had lockdown over the past year and a bit, but how often do you get to see Black Caviar? Do you go up and visit her? Because I remember one of the highlights that I'll forever remember, well, I was lucky enough when working for Channel 7 to go up there just a couple of days after her very first foal was born and do the story on Black Caviar and a little foal, and she was just amazing. Do you get up there often?
We get up there as often as we can. We were up there for the Scone Cup just a few weeks ago. I don't know if the mayor remembers me, but I always take carrots, so she's a sucker for carrots. So, you know, she does her best to try and remember us as she eats the carrots. But it's, you know, been tough this year, not just for us, for everybody. I mean, it sounds bad that you're sooking, you can't see your horses and people can't see their families. But, you know, I live to be part of their lives and we haven't been able to do that.
Pam, a bit different with Black Caviar and probably with Winx, the post-career sort of thing, because you're going to be breeding with her progeny and the connection's still going to be. But what's it like, the decade since Black Caviar finished racing, being like? I mean, the group became obviously more intimate because they were connected to Black Caviar. What, for the ownership group and for you personally, what's it like moving on from the racing era of Black Caviar?
Well, people have asked me that quite often, and they say, "Oh, you mustn't, you know, enjoy racing anymore." But it doesn't matter where we go to race. If the horse is running at, you know, at Mornington, which is our local track, other horses that we have, I always go, and I still get just as excited to see them as I do any other time. We're lucky enough to have a couple of nice little fellas with Amy and Ash Yagi, a couple of All Too Hards. And they've enjoyed a bit of success. Nothing yet like the big horse, but we live in hope. You know, we go all over the place. Kyneton, that's where the two horses have both won. So we go everywhere, and it's still just as good, Michael.
I could imagine. Hey, Pam, now, it's hard to get anything out of Moods, but has he given any inclination to the owner group that she might go all right this one? What are we expecting today?
Absolutely the same reaction that he gives to everybody. You know, I think he mentioned that she might... We know that she's not no good.
Yes.
He's a tough nut to read, isn't he?
But the feeling would have been the same with the others going in as well, has it? There's been a few little false hopes with the first few progeny, haven't there?
Oh, look, they're horses, unfortunately. They're not machines. And sadly, you know, just... things happen to them. You know, the Sebring, who's a beautiful horse, and we were lucky enough to see, he was 12 hours old when we first saw him. Black Caviar popped him out a bit before we got there. But, you know, he got a throat infection. You know, something else happened to something in a paddock. It's just the usual story with horses, and you just got to enjoy the good ones when they come along.
Well, we wish you all the best today, Pam. It's been a remarkable ride. You'll never get another Black Caviar, you know that. But the enjoyment for everyone now to be racing her progeny, and it would be beautiful if Invincible Caviar could follow into her mum's steps and win on debut at the famous Flemington racetrack.
Well, to win at Flemington any time is wonderful. To have the daughter of Black Caviar the opportunity to run, sadly we're not there, but we're still excited, Michael, so we're looking forward to it.
We wish you all the best today, Pam. Great to chat.
Yes. Lovely to speak to you. Thanks, Michael.
Bye.